on the forefront, at the front line. I was like, yo, where do we go? There seems to be no help. It seems like we're kind of on our own here.
Yeah. Let's be real. Let's say things. Mm-hmm. February, our citizen couldn't go to Walmart.
That's true, yeah.
I'm not even going to talk about SAQ or SQDC. Let's keep mm-hmm. it real for food and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
What would be next? That's my question. Mm-hmm. As Parti Libéral du Québec and Québec Solidaire, when they come, mm-hmm. what was next? You seem to know what was going on because you weren't talking. Mm-hmm. You weren't protecting your people. Let's not forget, to be a deputy mm-hmm. at l'Assemblée Nationale is to represent your people.
That's what I'm...
Do you really think you represented, dans mon cas, moi, là, mm-hmm. Bourassa Sauvé, mm-hmm. but maybe others, other things? Mm-hmm. Really? Hmm. Where were you?
Oh, sisters, well, Jenny, do you have any other final words? Or?
My final words would be, I'm really blown away with having you come here because, like mm-hmm. I said, I think I only heard one other person speak about it. Actually, Tammy spoke mm-hmm. about, like, she did a poll to see who people were voting for, and mm-hmm. that's what she said about the conservator. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm really happy to see that. I was like, what did I miss?
I was like, wait, who are they?
What did I miss? And yeah. this was very educational, very eye-opening, and definitely going to make an impact on how I look at things and how I make decisions and mm-hmm. how I'm going to speak with people within the community. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I'm not here to convince you, word of all, mm-hmm. but I'm here to tell you to make an educated vote. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, there's many things, and I can only tell you that the candidates at the Parti Conservateur du Québec, they are on a mission. They are not professional politicians.
That's because not for nothing. Now, you know, I give Trump no flowers, but realistically speaking, he got into this position because people were saying they were tired of politicians.
Yeah,
because you're good at telling me what you think I want to hear, but you're not very good at telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that we need a party who's going to tell us the truth, whether we like it or not.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. This is good.
Again. Beware. This is, to me, it's going to be historic. Mm-hmm. Historic because depending for who people vote. And by the way, in Montréal, no, almost close to 1% out of 3 vote. You understood? Understand
mm-hmm.
me?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. 2/3 do not vote.
Hmm. So yeah, that's low.
Even for my cahier de candidature, because it's not like, oh, you decide one day to become a candidate, you become a candidate. You need to sign some papers and have 100 people who back you, but also who lives in your area, but who already voted once. Ils sont sur la carte des électeurs. Mm.
Right.
T'as jamais voté? Ben, yes, it does exist. Wow. People who never voted and they feel ashamed. I'm not here to shame nobody.
No.
But politics will take care of you because politics is all the laws, the bylaws that you lived on. I'm sorry, you think like you are super free. No, the way you drive a car is because there is a bylaw telling you all you should drive a car.
You're absolutely right.
And see, this is why they tell you never to talk about religion and politics amongst friends, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you do speak about it, you start breaking down the walls of what you're being told all mm-hmm. these years. Because like even this, like as you said, like if you go to your directeur de scrutin, if you're not getting these cards, and bring 10 people, and it brought me back to like, yeah, but you're not supposed to talk about politics around mm-hmm. people. I'm like, it's a ploy.
Exactly, they do it on purpose because then you can start influencing. But now, and you know what? Somebody had told me, and I think it's important just to remind our people. It doesn't stop after the vote, right? So when the party does come into power, there's accountability.
There's holding.
Mm. You know, like you voted for them. They have to be accountable to what they said. You mm-hmm. have to, you have a right as a citizen to be on their case. Mm-hmm. To say, okay, I mm-hmm. voted for you. You said you're going to do this. Let's make it happen. So I think it's really, really important that we be mindful as a community and just to hold our politicians, to their word in terms of what they're saying. So, Queen Carmel, did you have a final word that you want to leave with our people?
Yes, I would like, and I do not have my business card as a party, so I'm very scary to leave my phone number, but I will do so.
Okay.
If you are in the borough of Montréal Nord, which is, my phone number is 438-868-4957. I repeat, 438-868-4957. Give a call. I can meet you. I can tell you if you're allowed to vote or not. You can help me because right now I'm leaving just to continue this thing with les pancartes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
so you're putting up signs.
Yes.
So you need volunteers. You need more help. You need more manpower.
Yes.
In Mariano.
I was up there up until 4 a.m. It's crazy.
Okay.
Everybody should live this
this
experience. Yes.
Okay.
And so we're going to continue. There's going to be debate. And the website of Le Parti Conservateur du Québec is very friendly, so you can get by. Éric Duhem has a lot of followers on Facebook, mainly Facebook and YouTube too, so you can listen to him and his position, how we got to manage all these people. And believe me, if you thought you were alone, this is where you realize you're not alone.
Okay.
But we need deputies at l'Assemblée nationale du Québec, who now gonna be able to talk for you on your behalf.
Wow.
So, and that's conservateur.québec for the website for the conservative or Quebec conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives.quebec for those who want to read it in English, because it's available in English too.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Parti Québec is.
And he's not scared to make a debate in English.
Mm-hmm.
François Legault from
refused.
You have to be.
We were supposed to have a debate, and two parties refused to do the debate because it had to be bilingual. I'm appalled.
It's disgusting. It's so insulting to the English community.
That.
It's like, we don't care if you understand us or not. That's really what they're saying.
And this is where the percentage of what you represent won't make me lose or win the election. Be mindful of these things.
Wow.
Where are we going?
Listen, Jacques Cartier spoke in English for the whole of Canada, and his English wasn't great, you have no reason.
Talk about it.
Hey, attention, 2018... How come François Legault didn't have any problem to talk in English?
No problem to get the votes.
You're right.
No
now
problem.
Bill 96 is here. Like, they're right.
Wow.
There's going to be some Anglophones after you. We want to know what happened.
Yeah, this is
again, I'm a bilingual person. My mom's French, my dad's English. So I'm right where you're in the middle. And at the end of the day, if I want to hear your debate in English... I want to hear it in English.
Yes.
If I want to listen to it in French, I'm going to listen to it in French.
Yeah. Give me the option. I want to hear it.
That's what it should be. Like, if you're really a party for the people...
That's it.
My thing is, if you're debating in Quebec and you're... I don't want to go too far with it. This Bill 96, too, you guys are acting like French is a problem in the province. It's not.
It hasn't been.
To me, it's a direct target to Montreal, and it's an oxymoron because you bring Anglophone companies into this country, into the province, so that you can get their economic growth, because you've pushed so many away, and now you're saying there's an English problem, and we're losing French in the homes. Are you kidding me? As soon as you leave the Montreal, and barely Greater Montreal, because... you have pockets of places in the South Shore, pockets of places in the North Shore. Everything else is French. And it's not the whole island of Montreal that's English either. You're highly targeting where there's a huge economic flow, because you want the money, but you don't want the language that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to act like it's a provincial problem, and it's not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
you understand, at least I would like you two
to
pass this message. You say Bill 96 does exist, and this is where division is starting. And it's going to start small. You don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And it's there, guys.
No, I need to,
So, what do you want for the next generation to say, you were there, what did you do?
Why
I'm in front, I'm there.
Yeah, okay. I did what I could. No, but I'm very curious to have somebody from the Liberal Party come in and explain to us, how did that, why was it started?
They have some explaining.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody has to come and explain this to us, to our listeners, because this is really what it is, because right now,
And if you do, I have one of my colleagues, he's really fond of, he's a lawyer, he's in constitutional rights.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very sorry for the liberal who will talk with this person.
Maybe we can have them both come at the same time. That could be very interesting. Hey, you know what? And maybe that I think that that might be our next. If I could get a liberal representative who will be brave enough to come, like just like you were. You were brave. You came on the show. You spoke your piece. It was a very beautiful piece. Thank you again for sharing. So we'll put the invite out there. Anybody who's listening who does represent the Liberal Party and would like a platform to come and share, you're welcome to come on to the Empower Hour. Get in contact with us by email. But not just the Liberal Party, I would say all parties.
All parties.
You know, all parties, we'd love to have you, give you this platform so you could come and share, just like our sister Carmel did.
I am at home, by the way.
Thank you. That's really what it is. You know, so again, so I thank you for being here. What you're doing is amazing and very necessary. Thank you for speaking up. Thank you for representing. Thank you for being that voice. Thank you for pushing back. And I just, you know, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage the community. As you hear, the sister's out here doing the work. She needs help handing out, putting up posters, knocking on doors. So if there are people out there who want to support, who want to encourage, who want to become a volunteer, please, you heard the phone number. We'll repeat it again. And once we put out whatever video clip, we'll make sure to add your phone number on it so people can see it. All right. And with that, I want to close up. This has been our Parley with the People.
October 3rd,
guys, be out there.
If you don't vote, I'm not trying to hear your complaints. we're here for solutions. And we're going to educate you on how you can get it. We're going to have a fair stance, and share any information that you need to know, where to go to learn what you need to learn, what works best for you and your borough. But October 3rd, you need to vote.
And if you cannot on October 3rd, you know that 1 week before, you can also vote. There's a lot of many ways to vote. So
you can do the pre-elections and stuff. So I don't want to hear you on vacation or XYZ. There are many options for you to vote before decisions are made.
It's historical.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Union United Church, Cinema Politica, and Catbird Productions are proud to invite you to a special community screening of Dear Jackie, a feature documentary by Henri Pardo. This special event will take place in Little Burgundy's historic Union United Church on Thursday, September 1st at 7 p.m., and the screening will be followed by a discussion with the director and participants from the film. Dear Jackie poetically tells the story of one of the oldest black communities in Canada, Montreal's Little Burgundy, by way of a cinematic letter to Jackie Robinson, the first black man to break the color barrier in professional baseball. It also masterfully connects to the present by challenging the myth of a post-racial society. Make sure not to miss this special event. Admission is on a first-come, first-served basis, and a minimum donation of $5 for the church is highly recommended. This event is sponsored by Caisse des Jardins du Sud-Ouest de Montréal and the Sud-Ouest Borough of Montreal. For more information, visit cinemapolitica.org. We hope to see you there. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Montrealers were so proud it happened in their city.
Youth in Motion presents the Little Burgundy Festival. Come and join the fun with activities for children, prizes to win a diversity game, and delicious and tasty foods for all to discover. The 37th Little Burgundy Festival takes place on Saturday, September 10th at Vinay Park from 12 until 9 p.m. More than 40 artists will take the stage with headliners Jakata, Maytone, Robin, Mellow G, all backed by the Uprising Band. Also, the People's Gospel Choir of Montreal, an Algerian singer, Amar Hamel. Sensational dance from Kebili Tafasut, Un Afro Dance, and B-Boy MTL Crew, and much, much more. That's Saturday, September 10th at Vinay Park in Little Burgundy. Noon to 9 p.m. You don't know it's a CKUT co-presentation.
What it do, Empower Hour listeners? It is your homegirl, Tammy, and you already know I'm not a passive. Y'all are going to get the word today. Now, before we jump into the news and information, I hope everybody doing good. I hope y'all are feeling great. Now, listen, it is back to school season, okay, for our children, for college students, for university students. So what does that mean? That means everybody is busy, okay? But I really hope that y'all are still taking the time to just, you know, breathe in, And breathe out. Right? And just be cool, calm, and collected. Right? Because at the end of the day, life is meant to be enjoyed. Okay? Now, let's jump into the news, y'all. I have so much to say, so little time to say it. So let's jump into it. Now, last week we spoke about the gun violence that has been happening in Montreal, right? And it has not really stopped as I am recording this right now. Now, listen, this week, the public security minister, Ms. Geneviève Guilbeault, confirmed that Quebec will be giving $250 million over the next 5 years to help recruit police officers, right? Now, during this press conference, she also confirmed that the province and city will be splitting the cost to hire an additional 100 social workers to help with mental health cases and what pertains to violence in the city. Because according to statistics, approximately 30% of all calls that are done to 911 pertain to mental health cases, right? Now, where I have an issue with this is that, again, we are talking about solutions after crimes have been committed. Where is the money invested in prevention? Now, I don't know about y'all, but me, the way I see it is that if we want to come in and stop violence, right, it is not by punishing a criminal after the fact. The crime has already been committed. People's lives have been affected. Bloodshed has still happened. Why are we not investing millions of dollars in prevention towards vulnerable communities and vulnerable Montrealers, right? Now, hear this. The city also confirmed this week that it will be putting $25 million towards, now hear this, mobile crisis response teams that will work with vulnerable Montrealers. Now, again, key word here, crisis response teams, which means there has to be a crisis to respond to. And once again, we are talking about help that comes when it's too late. We need more money in prevention. And you know what? I'm going to say this. The provincial election campaigning has begun, y'all. Now, do you know what time it is? It's time for our voices to be heard. I am doing my part right here with the Empower Hour. But at the end of the day, I alone cannot change things. Every one of us needs to write to our ministers, to our deputies. We need to communicate to each and every government, right? That, hey, listen, we want more prevention. Because at the end of the day, guess what? Once a criminal is caught, the crime has already happened. And this brings me to my next point. Now, Montreal Mayor Valérie Plante commented this week on the gun violence that has been happening. And she mentioned the case of William Rainville, saying that his case makes no sense, which further validates what I'm saying here today. Now, for those of you who do not know who William Rainville is, this is a young man in his mid-20s, white. He has his bachelor's degree from l'Université de Sherbrooke. And this man was caught crossing our border, so coming back into Canada, with 250 guns. Now, he only received a 5-year sentence and only served a few months, because within a year, he is already out, y'all, and he is in a halfway house. Now, for those of y'all who do not know what a halfway house is, basically it is what we consider semi-liberty, right? Which means that he can go out to see friends, family, he can go work, he can go to school, but he has to come back to the halfway house and sleep, and he has a curfew, which is why he is in semi-liberty. Now, how is it that this man got caught with 250 guns, okay? And he only received a 5-year sentence and only served a few months. Now, even Montreal Mayor Valérie Plante is saying that this does not make sense. So, coming through with $250 million, right, in order to, again, fight violence is not necessarily the best way, in my opinion. We need more prevention, because as we can see, when they're caught, look at what William Rainville got, 5 years, and he's already out within a few months, okay? So, that's that on that subject. Now, I want to talk about the next subject, which is Western University's vaccine mandates. Now, I had spoke about this previously. They basically are keeping their vaccine mandates, right? At the end of the day, they waited for everyone to pay their tuition for the semester. And then, boom, they came through and said, you know what? Everybody needs to be vaccinated and boosted, right? In order to be able to attend class. At the end of the day, completely disgusting. I do not think that a personal medical choice should be imposed into any students, right? Dr. Julie Ponesse, who has her PhD in ethics and ancient philosophy. She is also a teacher, a professor at Western University. And she publicly denounced this week the vaccine requirements for students. So she denounced publicly the vaccine mandates of Western University. Now we are going to need more professors, more professionals having the courage in order to stand up and speak out against this injustice. At the end of the day, a personal medical choice is a personal medical choice, just like your religion, just like your sexuality, right? Discrimination is discrimination, no matter how you look at it. And I need everyone, once again, to not be afraid to call out the injustice. If we as melanated people expect white people to denounce racism, then we also need to stand up and denounce these injustices and this type of discrimination. Also online, if you guys go see on Twitter, there has been an outrage concerning Western University's mandates. A lot of students are dropping out of their PhD, of their master's, even their bachelor's program. I mean, this is horrible. This is really horrible for the educational system. And I really believe that it is up to us, the people, to stand up, speak up, right? Now, speaking about standing up and speaking up, this brings me to such an interesting situation. Now, Vice Prime Minister of Canada, Ms. Chrystia Freeland, was in Alberta and is said to have been verbally attacked by a man. Okay, now we are not going to sit here and condone verbal abuse, right? Basically, this man was obviously upset and he said, "What the F are you doing in Alberta? You are not welcome here," right? You know, he said it in a very angry tone. I mean, listen, he was mad and I completely understand because I'm mad too, right? But now the outrage from all governments, each and every government prime minister, every deputy, every minister, public figures, everyone is calling out the fact that, oh my God, Chrystia Freeland, the Vice Prime Minister of Canada, has been verbally attacked in Alberta. This cannot happen in Canada. But yet, how many of us melanated people have been verbally attacked from when we have been in elementary school all the way up to now? And we are told, go back to your country. You're not welcome here. We don't want you here. How many Muslim women have been told, take off your hijab. You're not welcome here. Go back to your country. How many LGBTQ plus community members have been told your lifestyle is disgusting. We don't want it here. Each and every one of us have been verbally attacked right here on Canadian soil. And yet, I don't see the outrage. But now, because Vice Prime Minister of Canada, Chrystia Freeland, was told, what the F are you doing here in Alberta? You're not welcome here. There is an outrage. And now on the flip side, if you are not outraged, the fact that we are forced to accept verbal attacks on the daily, we are taught to normalize this and accept it. And, oh, don't make a big deal. I mean, he just said, go back to your country. I mean, is it really the worst thing in the world? You know, the person didn't touch you. The person didn't physically attack you. But yet the outrage for Chrystia Freeland is huge. And Thomas Jefferson said this, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. And I personally think we all have a duty to call out the fact that there is an outrage for Chrystia Freeland, but again, we are asked to accept this type of behavior from fellow citizens, from fellow, Montrealers, from fellow Quebecers, right? No, at a certain point, we have to stand up and set the tone that certain things are unacceptable, right? And if it's unacceptable for her, it is going to be unacceptable for us as well to live with this. Now, just again, as I mentioned before, the provincial election campaigning has begun. So that means start writing your emails, hop on Twitter, hop on Facebook, hop on Instagram. Now listen, elections are happening beginning of October. This is the time, y'all, to take the time, okay, and make your voices heard, right? Because at the end of the day, every voice counts. On that note, y'all, have a great week, and I love y'all. Stay blessed. My time is up. Peace.
You know what time it is. This is Kaya's Jambalaya. You know I'm always cooking up something hot. Come on in. Let me feed you, baby. Yes, yes, yes. And this is Kaya's Jambalaya. So let's start out with this because y'all know that it was my uncle's birthday the other day. So I'm just going to say happy birthday to my uncle Michael. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? Michael Jackson. He a lot of our uncles, actually. He taught a lot of us how to dance. He taught us, a lot of us, we was pretending to be him when we was younger. Y'all know that that was y'all uncle too. So happy birthday to our good uncle Michael. And as I'm recording this, it's 12:12 right now, and I feel like that's very symbolic. We want to just send out all the love that we can to the Jackson family because they truly, truly lost a great and wonderful commodity to the Jackson name. Just to say a little bit about Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was, when I say he's my uncle, I literally mean like he was my uncle. He's my uncle. I was one of those kids that was coming up, you know, in those days, and Michael was all over the television. He was doing it all, you name it. And everything that he did, we were interested in. He taught us how to move. Until today, people are still doing the moonwalk and still singing his songs. Let's just call a spade, the greatest. Happy birthday, Michael. Now, let's get into this. Let's get into this because, child, the VMAs, we got to get into it. One, it was something to see, but let's get into the winners of the VMAs. And for those of you who don't know what the VMAs are the Video Music Awards, right? And this is an award show that is put on by MTV. So Nicki Minaj and Lil Baby actually win the 2022 MTV VMA for Best Hip Hop Video of the Year. The other nominees included Future, Drake and Tems, Pusha T, Kendrick Lamar, and Lotto. So yeah, congratulations to them. Also, Lizzo wins. You know Lizzo is going to win. She won the VMA for Best Video for Good. I don't know what that means. But she won. And her nominees included Kendrick Lamar, Lotto, Stromae, and Rina Sawayama. I guess that's her name. Listen, I'm going to have to play it. I hope that it actually, you can hear it. You guys know that Whitney Houston is one of my girls. Like I often quote her in my music and talk about her in my music. I just love Whitney. And I actually have like, you know, some background and some stories about, Whitney and their family. Due to the fact that my family is connected in different ways. You know, 6 degrees of separation is such a true and such a real thing. But yes, I love Whitney Houston. So Nicki Minaj actually quoted and kind of embodied Whitney. And I hope that this little clip it actually plays so you can hear it. But Nicki is doing her thank yous and paying homage, and she brought out her inner Whitney. Let's see if we can I love the fact that Nicki did that. I'm going to let you guys hear another little clip of her of her speech, though, because I just feel like it's just something that we got.
Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson were here. I wish that people understood what they meant and what they were going through. I wish people took mental health seriously, even for the people who you think have the perfect lives. I wish Pop Smoke and Juice WRLD and Nipsey Hussle were here.
So, for those of you who don't know, Nicki Minaj actually was the recipient of this year's Video Vanguard Award. And in her speech, she paid homage to everyone who helped her over the course of her career and even spoke about mental health. And we gotta give a big shout out to Nicki for that. Everybody knows, you know, Nicki Minaj is Nicki Minaj, but... the other night, I think that she displayed such great qualities when it came to just humbling herself and paying homage to others. And we love her for that. Not that that was ever her a thing, because Nicki never, I was actually mad at her the way that she greeted Lauryn Hill, and Lauryn Hill kind of like sunned her, and I didn't like it. But she got on her knees when she saw Lauryn Hill and pretty much cried, and she was so impressed that it was Lauryn Hill, and I feel like Lauryn Hill treated her poorly. So we know that that's not Nicki's problem. Paying homage is not her problem, but the fact that she did during that time, I think that she is, she definitely got some cool points for that one. Next in, Lil Nas X and Jack Harlow actually won the VMA for Best Collaboration of the Year. And I guess the video was, okay. Right? It was what the industry was looking for. So whatever, they won. Meh. You guys go and check it out if you get a chance. But Jack Harlow and Lil Nas X, and I think it's called something celebrity. I can't even remember the name of it, honestly. Industry Baby. That's what it's called, Industry Baby. Go and check out that video, though. It's a bunch of guys naked or dressed in pink in prison. It's different, to say the least. I can't lie. You know, they're very, very creative, and I guess this is what this video process is about, right? I hope to one day win one of these awards myself, so I ain't knocking it. It is what it is. It was risque, and guess what? You know what? It worked, because they won. Speaking of Jack Harlow actually brings Fergie out to perform First Class. Now I'm not sure if it's actually Fergie singing the GLAM on his album, Glamorous, but, on his album First Class, but, it definitely sounds like her. So if this is what it is, then that was great actually to bring Fergie out, because I thought Fergie retired. not being slick or anything, but I honestly thought she retired. Lil Nas X, oh God. You know, I just can't. So the Shade Room has, the Shade Room called Bro Stole My Look. Okay, so Lil Nas X's VMA look was actually stolen from Iman, her 2021 Met Gala outfit. I don't know. The internet is doing a who wore it best. As far as I'm concerned, Iman still wore it best. But it is what it is, and the industry loves this, so... If y'all get a chance, go and check out these damn outfits, though, and please come and tell me in my inbox what you're thinking, because I'm going to tell you, I'm just not going to say anything more. I just can't. I won't. Next up, because I got to talk about this. So Jack Harlow keeps coming up, because Jack Harlow was actually one of the hosts for the evening, but guess who was another host? Now, his name keeps coming up for me because I have always loved LL. I've actually met him a couple of times since I was a child, and LL is just something special for me and really something like a household name. Also be looking out for music from me doing my rendition of LL Cool J's, one of LL Cool J's biggest songs. So just be looking out for that. But LL Cool J was actually one of the other hosts for the VMAs. Y'all don't play with him, okay? He is still getting that money. He is still out there. And I'm going to tell you something. He's a little light-skinned now. but he's still fine. He's not my type anymore, but he's still fine. Lizzo came out looking like I'm not trying to just, you know what? Hey, listen. So Lizzo is looking like Missy Elliott 2022. Let's keep it there. The outfit that she wore was very avant-garde. It was like big, billowy material just all around her. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. She was fabulous. Her makeup was flawless. Her hair was laid. And you know what? Lizzo is always serving, whether they think she deserves to serve or not. It is what it is. And I am not mad. So the black carpet was underway for Lizzo, and she started it off with a bang. That's the Shade Room's words exactly. There's nothing else I could say to describe it myself. It might not have come out so eloquently. I'm just going to be honest and tell the truth. So, but Lizzo, the look, definitely, definitely avant-garde. Y'all go and check that out. Also, we are now in our second year remembering Chadwick Boseman. This is the second year anniversary of his passing, but we do know that Black Panther 2 is coming out, and Warrior Queen will be behind that, or before that, one of the two, if I'm not mistaken. So let's make sure that we get out there and support these movies. Let's get out there and make sure that we support our people, because that's what time it is. Chadwick, all the love goes to you, brother. Gone too soon. Gone way too soon. And this is my time, and I thank you all for joining me for Kaya's Jambalaya. See you next week.
Hey everybody, I'm Gina the Great, aka Miss Politically Correct, aka The Devil's Advocate, aka Big Liar in Energy, and this is Ungrind My Gears, a segment where we keep it light, keep it bright, and share some fun facts and some jokey jokes.
Okay, well, today's segment of Ungrind My Gears is, why is your head moving like that?
Yeah, it's the segment of Ungrind My Gears.
Y'all need to be here to see it. It was great. But we're going to have some fun today. We're going to have a couple of things, but I got it packed for you today. Uh-huh. I got it packed for you today to touch upon a few things, but of course I want to start with some black facts. Mm-hmm. I really thought you were going to sing it.
Yo, I wasn't ready.
Really?
First of all,
I think we need to just make a decision. Are we going to sing it? Or
no, we should sing it every time. It's just you said it in my head. I was fixing my hair. Let me get this back. The cue is black facts. From when we hear black facts, we should just cue in black facts, black facts. Wait, do I have to do the high part? Can I do the lower part?
I was about to jump in, but I'm like, let me let him hold
it. Yeah, no, do the bass part. I don't know what I was just thinking just now.
Oh, but black facts, black facts, black facts, black facts. You didn't even jump in. Guys, this is what happens when you just have Farrah
and Kaya's imbalance.
Right now, she would have been there with me.
I know. I can't trust you. And then I would have came in. Yeah. I wasn't ready. I was still thinking about being too high on the last one.
Okay. I know today's subject was politics, but today I want to talk a little bit of business. Because, you know, I always want to be careful when it comes out to black facts to not just always focus on the negative history that is put upon us as black people, but I went to celebrate Madam C.J. Walker today. Mm-hmm. Born Sarah Breedlove, Madam C.J. Walker, many of you may or may not know who she is, or have seen the biopic that came out on her, but she was an African-American entrepreneur, a philanthropist, and a political and social activist. She is recorded as the first female self-made millionaire in America in the Guinness Book of World Records. Do y'all remember the hot comb?
I do.
Well, not that she invented it. Oh. I knew I was going to get on that. She did not invent the hot comb, but she is the one who really started selling it and manufacturing it and really bringing it into the household. Because usually, don't quote me on this per se, but I believe it was mostly just professionals who had it, and then you know you started getting it in the homes.
Mm-hmm.
So she made her fortune by developing and marketing lines of cosmetics and hair care products for Black women through the businesses she founded, as literally called Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company. She also became known for her philanthropy and activism. She made financial donations to numerous organizations, including the NAACP,
mm-hmm.
and she became a patron of the arts. And her Villa Loiro, which is her estate in Irvington, New York, serves as a social gathering place for the African-American community. At the time of her death, she was considered the wealthiest African-American businesswoman and wealthiest self-made Black woman in America, as she passed in May 25th,
1919. Yeah, there's a documentary, actually, called 7 a.m., and they highlight her.
They highlight her?
Yeah, they talk about her in it. I think that's the first time I heard about it. I heard about her, sorry, I should say. And, I remember... I think she had obviously she had a car back in those times where that in itself was like, whoa,
it was a big
you
thing.
Are up there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So salute to you, Madam C.J. Walker. Although I'm glad that we are where we are today in celebrating our natural hair and how we and how it grows out of our head.
Mm-hmm.
She got a chance to capitalize on the things that we were using as Black women
mm-hmm.
or Black people, and it not being people from outside races capitalizing on our insecurities and the things that were put onto us. I mean, if you're going to create insecurities in the community, you know, like don't add insult to injury and like keep feeding into that.
But you know, actually on that same note, as you say that, because I think I just saw a post or something that came out that was talking about I think 95% of the companies that produce Black hair products are white owned.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I have a list of the ones, and here's the thing, it's not about it only being white owned. The issue about it is that they don't understand the biology of our hair. A lot of science that's been done on dermatology, cosmetics, and even psychology, a lot of times it's either done on white males or basically non-melanated individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes down to us and how our skin works and what works for our hair, which is vastly different than many other textured hairs of other people, is that if you don't have the proper science and backing from it, you don't know what it needs.
Right.
And so for a long time, Black people or Black women or just Black people felt like our hair didn't grow.
Mm.
Our hair grew slower, it didn't grow. But that's not the actual case. It's the hair retention.
True.
And I remember growing up, my mom used to say, because I wanted to wet my hair all the time. She was just like, you want your hair to fall off your head? You're not white. You can't just be wetting your hair all the time. And that's because they used to press our hair and we had to keep our hair a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And our hair did break because our hair was permed and pressed.
Right.
And it was already in a fragile state. So... if anything was making it break.
Yeah.
Whereas our hair needs to be hydrated.
Yeah.
And guess where you get hydration from?
Water.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes. Love it.
And so we're conditioned to do the exact opposite of what we needed. And that's why our hair doesn't grow.
Mm-hmm.
My hair has grown the best today in this third round of me going natural
mm-hmm.
than I ever had before.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I know this sounds like a tangent about hair and stuff, but it's more about us knowing more about ourselves and what actually works for our bodies.
Yep.
Not just the hair, it's everything that comes with that.
Talk about it.
Yeah, so Madam C.J. Walker was our Black fact of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quote of the week, and it's I'm taking it very personally, if you will, because I do feel like in the past few weeks, I've had to put more and more people in boxes.
Mm.
So I have this thing where it's not that I will... completely disengage with you. I will just have to put you in a space where I know how to deal with you.
Okay.
And or like how much energy, that's what it is.
Mm.
How much energy I can input into you.
Yeah.
Before being completely drained.
Yeah.
And so therefore boundaries. That's
boundaries.
True.
I like it. Okay.
Boundaries. So the quote of the week is, if people are not listening to you, stop talking to them.
Mm.
If you stop talking to people who are not listening to you and you start watching them instead, they will tell you what they are up to. If you have things to say, say them, but find the people who are willing to listen. Otherwise, you are devalue what you have to say by offering it onto an audience who does not, who does nothing but reject it. So Jordan Peterson said that quote, and he was giving a talk on that, and he said that, and man, oh man, did it hit it hit home, because a lot of times you you want to talk to people and you have expectations that you put on people as well, because you want them to do better and you want the best for them. But there's something that you have to learn in life, that you can't want something more for somebody than they want for themselves.
Oh, I had learned that with the OFC.
100%. And then your words will fall on what?
Deaf ears. Yeah.
So keep your valuable words for those who are willing and ready to listen. Because it's the thing, maybe that person is just not ready.
That's exactly it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, because we're all here to live our lives.
Exactly.
We came here to have an experience, and we all have the right to have the experience the way we choose to do it, not the way you want me to have to live my experience for you. But then don't aggravate yourself with continuing to repeat yourself to somebody who's not taking in your words, because it's just not their gospel.
Yeah.
It's not for them.
100%.
And then now you're getting frustrated and désespéré and all these things, but you're doing that to yourself.
Yeah, and the reason I said I had learned from the OFC is my example, is because we are always striving, you know, to offer different things to members, just to open up as many doors. And I found myself getting frustrated when I was trying to create opportunities and the members weren't like flocking to it like I thought they would. And then that was it. One of my coaches had to show me that, look, we're going to create the opportunities for them, but it's like everybody in their time. And those who come out, those who make the effort, like, we are seeing it. We're seeing the results. They're seeing the results, and that's okay. Like, if it's just going to be the 5% or 10%, you know, who are going to get it, and the rest are, you know, they're going to catch up, and let it, so be it.
Let them catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that was the quote of the week.
I like that.
Cheryl.
Yo.
Have you been on social media this week?
Yo, all kind of crazy things on social media, man.
What's gone wild for you? What did you come across?
I made a note. Oh, it's in my phone. I'm going to need my phone. Or actually, I sent it on the WhatsApp group. Oh, I don't have my computer.
It was Kanye. What? That's what you said.
The bags?
No, you sent Kanye, and you also
there's something else.
What is it called? The coffee.
Yes, that's what it was. Guys. Okay, good. I'm glad we're talking about it. I'm glad it's me and you here, Gina.
Yes.
So, anyways.
Talk about it. Let me see what you have to say today.
There's this thing that looks like Timon from The Lion King. You guys remember Timon and Pumbaa, okay? It looked like the meerkat. It looks like a little weird cat-looking thing. I can't remember the name of the animal right now, but getting to the point, they make... It's a what? Is this an animal?
It's a luwak.
A luwak? Okay, thanks. You know? So they take the luwak's poop and they make coffee out of it.
Nope. That is incorrect. You are super giving false information. Yeah,
this is what it was. What are you talking about? They take the poop, dry it out, and that's just what it is.
See, this is how social media gets you. Okay. When you look at the
the image,
the image, or if you're taking on just like the
caption,
and you're just like, oh my god, that is not what happened. Do you want to know why I know that's not what it is?
Yes, Gina, please.
Because I went to Bali.
Yes.
And I did have some luwak coffee.
The poop coffee? Tell us about it, Gina.
People call it poop coffee.
Exactly.
What it is that the animal eats the coffee bean because we can't get it. And the ingestion of it makes the bean digestible to humans. So when they when they pass it through their system.
As doo-doo.
They do collect the feces.
Yes.
They clean out the feces. So that only the beans remain.
Right.
And then they roast them and then they make coffee.
Oh my god, Jesus. It's doo-doo coffee. I don't know why. Did you guys hear doo-doo coffee? I heard doo-doo coffee, but anyway.
It's not doo-doo coffee. Because then I also had to make the argument that if you eat mushrooms and or many or any all produce, it all grows due to the fertilization with manure that you then wash off your vegetable and eat it. I don't even eat fungus or fungi, which is one of your favorite. You be loving the mushrooms.
I really do. And the thing is,
and they grow in poo.
You're wilding out because it's just fertilizer.
No. The doo-doo, in the farms is one thing.
The doo-doo is the fertilizer that helps to grow. And that's even worse. But it's not doo-doo. Anything that comes out of your bum is doo-doo. I don't understand why Gina's trying to change.
Okay, then you're taking the doo-doo and then change the definition of doo-doo. You're growing other things. But mushrooms, and literally, you know it because I sent you this.
Yes, screenshot. Mushrooms grows out of doo-doo, but mushrooms are not doo-doo.
But and this, these and this coffee, the coffee's not doo-doo either?
Yes, it is. As soon as it comes out of an animal's buttocks, it has become doo-doo. I don't care. Anyway, so that was what I saw on the internet. That was wild. But it didn't become that wild after Gina's like, I had to doo-doo coffee too. And I'm not surprised because Gina be doing some wild. So that's just what it is.
When in Rome.
That's what I'm saying. I'm never going to Rome because I don't want no doo-doo coffee.
Listen. But that Bali was an amazing experience. You're
minus the doo-doo coffee.
Okay, and here's the thing. I had a sip because I really don't even like coffee. But
and you're like, just taste a doo-doo. Just be honest. It's okay.
No, but coffee in and of itself to me tastes like doo-doo.
But
so.
That was...
But shoulder mushrooms. So.
But that was more doo-doo. You have to be honest.
Do you know what I found on social media that I found really wild and it had me stomp for a minute as I read the caption and I was like, who wrote this? Who did this?
Talk about it.
So have you ever seen those postings where it's like, one of these have to go?
Okay, right.
And it's like, sometimes it's about food. And it's like, your favorite snack. And it'd be like, Dunkaroos. Oreo cookies, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Someone did one of these have to go, and they did it with actors. I'm going to give you the four choices.
Okay.
I'd love to know who you would nix out of this for.
Okay, got it.
The originator of this post had the audacity to make us have to decide between Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Eddie Murphy, and Denzel Washington.
Oh, Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, Wait, you said Eddie?
Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Eddie Murphy, Denzel Washington.
Okay, but what am I Xing them out for? Like,
as in, their career never existed.
Oh my goodness.
Their career never existed.
So it's not like for a team where I need to have the ideal cast for something.
No, you lose everything that they created or
were in. Oh my goodness.
Everything they created or were in. And you know what the crazy part is? And I didn't even take this in. Because, I mean, if I really have to wait for your answer, our show will end. I promise you. Because I was watching from Kev on stage, and he's just like, but here's the thing. If you take out Will, there's no Bad Boys. There's no Fresh Prince. There's no this. Right. You take out Martin, there's no Bad Boys. There's no House Party. There's no Martin.
No, but Martin was only the DJ in House Party. House Party could still exist without Martin. He was just a DJ.
No, he did play a role because he didn't have the bad breath. Whatever they played in does not exist.
That anymore. Doesn't count. You can't take him out. He was a character in it. Kid in play. I can understand. But because it's funny you say that because I'm like, okay.
But what about Bad Boys? Because he's
yeah, no, yeah, yeah. So Bad Boys would be gone. Bad Boys would be gone.
Eddie, you take out.
Well, that's raw. You can't take out Delirious. You can't.
And Eddie's done things with Martin too, and all these.
You
things.
Can't like, take out Shrek. The whole Shrek thing has to stay. Look, I'm actually.
And there's no way you're taking out Denzel.
Denzel was never an option.
It was never an option.
Denzel, I never even considered taking Denzel out. It was the three other ones, to be honest. It was like.
And I don't know because like high key Pharrell, the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, is greatness. But so was Martin. And like the thing is, Eddie had no sitcoms. And sitcoms is a big part of our lives growing up.
Yes, yes.
So then do you forego some of the movies? Because Raw and Delirious, we watched it, but we were actually too young to be watching.
Yeah, yeah, but that doesn't mean we didn't watch it.
We watched it. Like Aunt Bunny and Goonie Goo Goo, like we wouldn't have that in our lives today without Eddie. And our kids wouldn't have Shrek.
Yeah, they wouldn't have Shrek. You know, like the Delirious, all those, I think I could live it out. I think the Shrek was a really good series. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Martin, the Martin show really did a lot. Did a lot for me just in terms of just years of laughter.
Yeah.
I'm going to get rid of Eddie.
You know what? As we spoke about it, I think it has to be Eddie.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, you actually just, it was in him not having a sitcom. He didn't have enough for me. He didn't have enough for me.
He didn't have enough diversity compared to.
Compared to.
Because he definitely has a lot. And he took a huge hiatus.
Too. Yeah, I know. But because he can. He's Eddie. And he makes zillions of dollars off of Shark. Zillions.
Yeah, but if we didn't have Eddie, would we have Charlie Murphy?
Yeah, of course we would. You can't take it like.
You're right.
That's what I'm saying. And therefore, David Chappelle and the whole. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay.
The Hollywood stories. The other thing that came,
that was a lot.
Yeah. That's why social media gone wild. Like, I think the person literally lost their minds on that,
that
one.
That was a lot mental.
Did you see the new Spice video teaser?
No.
You know Spice, right?
Yeah, of course.
The dance hall singer. You heard her song, Tape Measure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she put a teaser on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it did say that it was uncut, and that it was, because if you were not prepared, you were seeing phalluses.
Oh, wow.
On that video on Twitter.
Just penises. That's all you're seeing.
Straight penises.
Right.
And her tape measuring said... said members.
Wow.
And Twitter does not have the same guidelines as IG and or Facebook.
So it's just,
which, you know, like, I don't mind it. It said it. This is uncensored. It's uncut. You know what you got to do. You know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You got to double click to be like, nah, I'm cool to see all
let
that.
Let me see.
I just didn't really expect that. But then, you know, remember BET was it uncut?
After Hours or something.
BET After Hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. They had all that popped up for, you know, on a handstand and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all had all of that. So I'm like, I'm not mad at Spice.
No.
Do what you gotta do for what you gotta do with it, and you just make sure that you guys have the proper filters on your internet for your children.
Well, I'm just wondering why I'm not in that video. Are they talking about...
Over.
Next point.
If you're interested,
go
see Spice's teaser.
Oh, shoot. Oh, my God.
Last but not least, not social media gone wild, but since we were talking about Madame CJ Walker earlier, I was on Jackie Aina's page, which is a self-made makeup artist who really grew in her followers and in her craft. But she put me on, it's called Shop at Google.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a page, an IG page, or I guess... a website as well, where you can easily find black owned businesses and find things like that. So
nice.
I literally just saw this yesterday, so I'm gonna go explore what they have. But okay. I love anything that facilitates spending the dollar within the community. So go check that out. Shop with Google.
Yeah. Oh, that's really dope. In that case, I'm just gonna shamelessly plug while we're on the topic. You guys check out OFCLink.com. OFCLink.com has a bunch of melanated businesses in there as well.
Where you can easily find black-owned businesses.
Talk about it. And if you're not a member yet, check out OFCCommunity.com. You can also sign up on OFCLink too, but whatever.
So, Pharaoh, did you hear about the cheese factory that exploded in France?
No.
It blew cheese everywhere. It had lots of debris. It's a Gouda one.
What are you talking about right now? Was that one of your jokes?
It sure was.
Like, I'm like, what are you saying? Like, it's, Gina.
It blew cheese everywhere.
I got it.
It had a lot of debris. It's a Gouda one. payback is so sweet.
No one liked that joke, Gina.
Yes, everybody did.
All the listeners.
No, but you know what? I think they like it more that you don't like it.
No, we're getting called in right now. Somebody's calling in to complain live. It's happening right now.
The lie detector determined that was a lie. So we got some What's the Tea mail.
Good. Oh, good. And so we only had one joke? Good.
Yes, I only had one joke. I gave you guys a lot today. There was a lot.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let the church say.
Mm-hmm.
So our tea mail today, subject line states, when can you date your friend's ex? So, my friend and her ex broke up over 5 years ago.
Okay.
They broke up amicably, were together for maybe over a year, but realized they were better as friends.
Okay.
We bumped into each other during an event, hung out, and had a really good time. So, here's the thing. We exchanged numbers, and we have had some friendly meetups, which also feels a bit weird, but I think we're getting closer, and I don't know if this breaks the friend code. Was I already wrong for going on our friendly meetups? Does it look crazy if I bring it up to my friend now? Or should I just tell him that this is wrong and we can't see each other anymore? Please help. Signed, loyal friend?
Okay, well, yeah, I'm glad they gave those options. Because one, I think you dropped the ball from jump.
From the jump?
From when there was a bit of an interest, right away, just pull the band-aid off. Yo, so, about your ex, man, or woman, I don't know. I can talk to that or what?
She, well, actually, I don't even know if it's a he or she, because yeah. It really is signed Loyal Friend.
Mm-hmm.
But they basically said they were hanging out as friends at first. Like, we were just having friendly meetups.
But where was the other friend? Was the other
no, like, so her, well, her, him, they and the ex were just meeting up.
Right, but like, even that's already weird.
So that's what I'm saying.
That's already weird.
You said, you said they should have told their friend from when they saw that, like, feelings were getting
involved. No, sorry. Prior, they started from when they started linking up. Like,
right,
it's because
okay.
Even that, it's just like, because even as the ex, like, if I find out some of my brethren is checking my ex-woman just to hang.
Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition, here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.